This program is being sponsored by friends and partners of Pastor Victoria Ministries. Welcome to Above Limitations with Pastor Victoria, touching lives and communities with the words of deliverance and raising people above limitations.
Second Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 6. To verse 11. I want you to open your heart and mind as I read this. I don't want you to have negativity to this scripture, but that's why I said it's going to help. If you're there, let's have amen now. Amen. Okay, can we read now? But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7 is what I actually want to minister about. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful what? Giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. As it is written, he has despised abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. Now may he who supplies seeds to the sower, that is the Most High God, and he that give bread for food, that is the Lord, that is called I am that I am. May he that supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. May the Lord bless this powerful holy word of God. Amen. Son of living God, we thank you. The Spirit of living God, we bless you. We thank you for this grace and the opportunity that you've given unto us to share this word with you. Holy Spirit, you be the teacher. As you use me as the first to speak to the congregation, I need the word to speak to me. Amen. Let the word change our life. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, big amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of the Most High God. I thank God for the privilege that he has given unto me to stand on this pulpit and share this word of God with you. And I pray that the word will bless you, bless your life, bless your situation, bless your circumstances, and the word will release the glory of the Lord into your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we took our text from that scripture today because the Lord wants to talk to us about the seed that we sow. The seed that we sow. I want you to actually broaden your thought when I'm talking about this seed that we sow. Don't look at it about the seed alone that we sow in the church alone. The seeds that we sow all over the place. The seed that we sow into the life of our friends. The seed that we sow into the life of our brother, sisters. The seed that we sow into friends as well. The seed that we sow anywhere, all over the world. I don't want you to actually only base it on the seed that you sow into the house of God alone, even though that has to be part of it as well. So the text that we've just read actually tells us that when we give bountifully, it's definite. Automatically, you're going to reap bountifully too. I said something to someone. I said, you know, the tithe actually have a blessing. An automatic blessing. Whether anyone know that you sow your seed of tithe, whether I know that you pay your tithe or not, automatically there is a blessing upon tithe. Can I have amen? Amen. There is a blessing that is upon tithe. As long as you pay, that blessing is going to manifest in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, the scripture says, when you sow sparingly, you will reap little as well. But when you sow abundantly, you will reap abundant blessing of the Most High God. So, what I have intention of saying today is that God blesses you and me so that we can be a blessing to all other people. I've said this several times, but if the Holy Spirit wants me to still come out here and talk about it, I will have to come and stand and talk about it. That the reason why a lot of people are not being blessed nowadays is because we are not a blessing to others. We find it very, very difficult to bless other people. We are in the generation of me, me, and me, 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 me. We want people to get out of their way to bless us, but we don't bless people. But whoever that wants to be blessed, you've got to learn to bless others. The answers to your prayer is in your blessing. It does not matter. Some of us always think, I don't have. Let me say this to you. You've got what it takes to bless others, no matter how little you have. No matter how small. If you might have 1 pound, but that is more than enough to bless someone if you want to. Praise the Lord. So the only way to be blessed, no matter what you are doing, the only way to be blessed is to be a blessing to others. When we start to live in that, then we will start to experience the blessing of God. When I'm talking about blessing, it's more than money, giving people money. If God didn't bless us with good health, you can have money and you will not enjoy the money. Because money cannot buy good health. Praise the name of the Lord. If God did not give us bright hair, and I mean the air that we breathe in, you cannot survive. And money cannot actually buy that. Money can buy you a big bed, but money cannot buy you sleep. A lot of people, they roll on their bed and they won't be able to sleep, even though the bed is like water bed. I mean, I said the reason why couple fight most of the time is, oh, it's my wedding anniversary, you didn't take me out. It's my birthday, you didn't buy anything. You are coming from outside and you didn't bring shopping. Oh, are you catering for me or not? You know, those are the reasons why we fight. Mostly it's about money. You can give people money, but money cannot buy happiness and joy. Because I don't want us to always put our emphasis, our brain in mentality of money, money, and money. There are a lot of things money cannot buy. So you can be a blessing to people, not only in a way of giving them money, but you can be a blessing to them several other ways. So God wants us to be a blessing. We've got to learn to actually stand up on our feet, get ourselves prepared, and be a blessing to other people. When you start to bless people, people will bless you back. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God can bless his people without you. Listen to that. God can do without your money. God doesn't need your money to survive. God does not need your money to pay for the mortgage of this place. But God chooses you as the channel to bless other people. He can bless them without you, but he chooses you. Did you get that?
Oh, yes.
He chooses you that I want to bless that person. I can do it without you, but because I'm Almighty God, I'm choosing you to be the one that will bless that person. That is how God operates. So God chooses you as a means of providing for others. But who have you provided for? Who have you blessed? Because if you bless, you will be blessed back.
Oh, yes.
Those are the things that we have to know as a Christian. No one needs to tell you that. Even if you don't have the opportunity to give, you have to look for that opportunity to help somebody. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, that is not where I'm going to. One thing that I actually want to bring out to us today is that in most cases, I know I have children that always give. All what it takes me is to let my need be known. My children will sort me out. How many of you that you want to cook, but you don't want to cook that the food, but you cook it with anger? But the scripture says, whoever that want to bless. Can we go back to that scripture? Verse 7. So let each one who give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly in his heart, and not of necessity. Listen to me. We do things because we believe that it's necessary for me to do it. The reason why I'm cooking that food angrily is because I know I have to do it. But that is not the way it should be. That is wrong. Did you get what I said? It's wrong. It's in the scripture. I didn't write it down. If you are sweeping the house of God and you know how to sweep with anger, even the leg of people that are there, you will sweep it with it. When we do things, I know people do things. I say, oh, I give. Oh, I bless. But what is the motive behind your giving? It's not only grudgingly that is there. The scripture says, even of necessity. The scripture says that those things, if you choose to give, if you choose to help anyone, if you choose to bless your wife, if you choose to bless your children, if you choose to bless anybody, don't do it by force. Not because you are under force. Not because you are under the obligation to do it. How many people that come to the house of the Lord just because you have to? I have to be there. How many worship leaders that come to the presence of the Lord to worship just not because you have to? Do you want to do it or not? It's better not to do it than doing it grudgingly. Propose in your hand, not reluctantly. Look at that word. How many times? Search your hand. Let me search my hand. How many times have we done things reluctantly? How many times have you attended someone's party reluctantly? I don't even want to go. Then sit at home. Because that going will not bring forth fruit. Because that seed that you sow is not going to bring anything. Because you did it reluctantly. Read it. Let me hear. Or sorrowfully. Now, did you hear that? Sorrowfully. We do things sorrowfully. You are sad in doing it. You are not happy to do it. But then it means that you are being forced to do it. You are doing it under obligation. You are blessing someone under obligation. You are giving that person what you are giving her. You are praying for someone under obligation. You are part of the prayer warrior under obligation. Don't do anything sorrowfully. Don't stay in the church sorrowfully. Read it.
Or under compulsion.
Or under compulsion. I think if I am still good about English, it means not under that you are being compulsory to do it. You are not. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Sit down. So the scripture says, don't do it grudgingly. If you choose to bless me, don't bless me as if you are blessing me by force. Praise the Lord. If you choose to cook for your husband, don't cook as if you are being forced to do it. Do it willingly. Let there be a smile on your face when you are doing it. Do it with love. Now, I can't hear somebody say something now. A lot of men have ate the food that the wife is causing the food when they are preparing the food. Even if you don't say that out, everything around you is angry. Your countenance, our soul, our spirit, everything about her is not happy about the food. Praise God. Now the scripture says, if at all you have to give to people, if at all you want to help someone, if at all you want to be part of the ministry, if at all you want to sow a seed into the life of your wife, your husband, people around you, don't do it sorrowfully. Don't do it as if you are forced to do it. Willingly, you've got to do. The reason why I'm saying this is that a lot of people have sown seed, but we are not receiving the result of the seed. A lot of people have actually sown seed, but the seed refused to bring forth fruit. And we wonder why. Because people see you sowing seed. And people wonder, why are you not blessed? And you are becoming a problem. You are actually becoming an obstruction, obstacle to people to sow seed. Because they see you sow seed and you never have testimony. And they wonder if the so-so person is sowing seed and doing good and still nothing is happening in their life, why do I have to do it? But one thing they never know is the motive in your mind. Whether you did it grudgingly or cheerfully, it's only you and God that knows. So the reason why we have to do things as from this, because I know a lot of us have been sowing seed. And I've prayed, I want everyone that have sown seed. If someone sowed this type of seed to my life, if someone sowed this type of seed into the house of the Lord, somebody sowed this seed. And every time they preach the word of God here, I'm telling you, that person's life has to be blessed. So we must all reap bountifully. So how many times, search yourself, do you have to wake up from your bed and you're coming to church is, oh no, if I didn't come, pastor will call. Oh, I don't even feel like going to church today. But anyway, let me go. I've missed church for 3 weeks. Reluctantly. That is reluctant going to church. It's not that you jump out of your bed, you say, you know what? I feel happy to go to the house of the Lord. Oh, it's 9 o'clock for prayer meeting. If I let me go, it's 9:30. I know blessing will be so angry. That brought that blessing. And when you come here at 9:30, you start to go in Jesus. In your, but within your heart, the reason why prayer is not answered is what you said at home. Is your motive for coming. They can stand here as the protocol. Now, if they are not, if they are standing here, see, they're under obligation to do it. They are doing it grudgingly that, oh, I can't even face the church. But somebody, someday that have got the power said, I have to stand and face the church. You are not receiving any blessing for doing it. You are better off sitting down there, cross your leg. Amen.
Amen.
That is a fact. So the scripture says, when you are sowing, you must sow with joy and happiness so that you can receive more blessing. You can receive the glory of God upon your life. Because I want everyone that have sown seed into FOCC, I want you to reap abundantly. And you will in the name of Jesus. I say you will in the name of Jesus. I say you will in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come to church not by fault, but you've got to rise up and come willingly. Praise the Lord. God wants a happy giver. Cheerfully, can you read it? Verse 7.
For God loves.
For God loves.
He takes pleasure.
Yes.
And prize above other things.
Yes.
And is unwilling to abandon to do without a cheerful, joyful.
Joyful.
Prompt to do it person.
Thank you. A cheerful giver. Did you hear that?
Whose heart is in his giving.
When you are happy to give, if you want to take your wife out, don't do it because if I don't take her out, no. No peace in this house. Oh, if I didn't cook this food, oh, no happiness in this house. But when you do it cheerfully, let you want to do it from the bottom of your heart. That is what God loves. A cheerful giver. You want to be part of someone's life, not because you are under force to do it. You want to be part of FOCC, not because you are under obligation to do it, because you are happy to do it. You want to bless that person. That is, the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. Simple. God wants your gift, but if at all you are not going to give with happiness, God doesn't like it. Praise the Lord. If you are not happy about what you are about to do for someone, don't even bother to do it, because you are forbidden to complain after it or before it. If I started to raise, oh, I always forget this is there. If I just say I want building fund appeal, I want people to stand up, and before you even say, oh gosh, she started again. Why did I come to church today? You know, thoughts are powerful. You don't need to say it out. And even if pastor, you say, just praise the Lord. But your heart, you say, But you keep clapping, but your mind is saying something else. And before you announce it, okay, 10 people to stand up, and you are number one to stand up. It happens. Praise the Lord. You are number one to stand up. Do you think that type of seed is going to bring forth result? No. Do you think that our seed is going to bring forth fruit? No. You don't want to be there by force. You don't want to do it by force. If you are not happy or you're going to complain about it, don't do it. And if you give, that is what the Lord said, be happy for giving it. Whatever they do with it afterward is none of your business. Can I have amen?
Amen.
Oh, I want to give the pastor this story now. I know she's too proud. She's too choosy. She's not going to use it, but I will give it to her. If she likes it, she uses it. And if she doesn't like, let her throw it in the bin. At least I've done what the Lord said I should do. Oh, pastor. You're a blessing to us. Every prayer you pray is answered by fire, by express. I'm blessing you with this. No matter how the person bring blessing, the blessing might not come. Praise God. Now, I can't hear. I said it's going to hurt. I said earlier, isn't it? I said it's going to hurt. I mean, we've been there. I'm just telling you, things that we do, we bless our husband, we bless our wife, but with anger and bitterness. We do things for the house of the Lord. We anger and bitterness, but we are not men. I just want to help you and help myself so that we can start to see the result of the seed that we are sowing. Praise the name of the Lord. So God wants you to serve him with all your mind, with all your heart, not because you are under obligation. God does not want you to serve him because you are under obligation. God does not want you to give because you have to. God loves a cheerful giver. Someone that is happy to do it. Someone that is happy to bless. Be happy to take steps. Be happy to take somebody to Canning Town Station. Be happy to help someone to look after. Oh, today I cannot look after your child. I'm tired. Simple. No, take those children. When you take the child and the child is scared, you say, don't worry, they'll be fine. Oh, you know, just go. When you come back here, and immediately the mother gets out of the door. The boy says, oh, sit down there. First, slap your face. And the boy just go and touch it. You know, you just shout and scream on the child. You are unhappy to take those children. Their mother came and said, they've been so wonderful children. Praise the name of the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. How many of us that know, on a serious note, we pretend, but the thing that is in our mind is different from the way we relate it, from the gift that we give. David said in Psalm 122 that I was glad and happy. I was delighted. I was so impressed when they said to me, let us go into the house of God. One thing that I learned about David that I actually want to talk about, but I didn't have time to do that now, is that God, actually David was so happy to build a house for the Lord. He was so blessed. He has everything that it takes. He was so rich. God blessed him so abundantly that he wanted to build a house for the Lord. He said, whatever it takes, if it's marble, if it's whatsoever, I'm going to build a house for the Lord. God sent Nathan to David and said, you can't. Go and tell David that you are not allowed to build a house for me. And he said, why? God said, you are a man of war. Your hand has shed a lot of blood. But do you know what happened? David was not angry, was not upset about it. David said, any opportunity, any avenue for me to be partaker of the house of God, I'm going to do it. Now, God now chose Solomon, his son, to build the house. David said to Solomon, whatsoever that it takes to build this house, even though it's not built in my name, it's you I'm going to give it. What avenue do you have to bless someone that you are not using? We have to be glad and rejoice. Every time they say, you've got to do something for somebody. Now, let me say this to you. Every time I have chances to go to the house of the Lord, I mean, even at home, in the morning to pray, even if it's just 30 minutes, I don't see that, oh, it's my right to be in the presence of God. I see it as a grace. I say, God, this is a privilege for me. That is the way I see it. It's a privilege for me to even stand here and be preaching. Am I a saint? Am I so good that I can see you know what? No. Am I so perfect? Is that a privilege? Is an opportunity? Even for you to be a member of FOCC, don't see it as you are a big person. See it as an opportunity. You have privilege to be part of this church. And you have to be thanking God. Every time I have the grace to pray or do anything, I say, God, I just thank you for this because this is a privilege for me. I'm not taking it for granted. What opportunity have you got to do something and you are not doing it? God does not want you to come to the house of the Lord and do something because you just have to do it. The word I have to do it is not allowed in the presence of the Lord. You've got to do it because you want to do it. Can I say that again? You've got to train and change your I have to do it that I want to do it. I have. That is what we normally, oh, I don't have choice. You do have choice. Your choice is not to do it. Don't say, I don't have choice. We always say, I don't have choice. I don't have choice. Well, that is why I do it, because I don't have choice. You've got choice. You know, no one forced you to come out of your bed to be in the house. Don't say you don't have a choice. As they're standing there, they have choice. If he doesn't want to stand, nobody can slap his face and say, you have to stand. Can I have a witness in the house? He said, oh, why? If someone said, oh, why are you standing there? He said, it's because I have to. No. God don't love I have to people. He loves I want to. Thank you. God don't want you to be in the choir because you have to. God does not want you to be in the choir, lead the prayer or the service because you have to. Be in the choir because you want to. Sweep the house of the Lord because you want to. Come to church because you want to, not because you are forced to do it. You know, I've learned to do something. People say, I want you to give me special. I want you to do that. And you don't want to do it. I'm not going to ask you to do it again. You lost your opportunity. It's an opportunity to be blessed and you don't want it. You are not meant to be forced to come to be part of the kingdom of God. You must be willing. That is what the scripture says. Be willing. You don't have to stay in your marriage because you have to stay in it. If you don't want to stay, get out. Because we say, oh, I have to stay. That is why I'm staying. Why do you have to stay? It means you are not enjoying it. It means you are not happy there. It means it's not working. It means you don't like the company of people there. It means you don't like the church. It means you don't like the pastor. It means you can't stand what they're doing there. Then you don't have to. You have a choice. Walk out. Praise the Lord. Does your giving bring you joy? That is the question the scripture is talking about. Does your giving, whatever you've done to someone, after you've finished it, do you have joy? Because sometimes, even if I bless somebody with just £10, sometimes I start to feel very happy about it, that I have the opportunity to do it. A couple of weeks ago, I was not too happy with myself. Then all of a sudden, I came back to my senses. I said, look, everything that I want, I have. It's not because I'm working 2 hours, two jobs together. My last, the one that broke before the one that broke was given to me. The one that got broken was given to me. This one was given to me. People that are working cannot even afford to buy this laptop. So if I have the grace, even the house that you are living, you've got to know that, you know what? I thank God for it. If I look at the light, I say, God, look, this electricity is being paid. God, thank you. Fuel is being put into my car. God, thank you. I'm wearing clothes that I did not buy for myself. God, thank you. You've got to learn to thank God for everything that you've got. What are you doing that always gives you joy? If you are doing something because you're under pressure, it's not acceptable for the Lord. I'm pressurized to do it. No. What causes reluctancy and pressure? Not being under pressure is what the Lord is asking you for. Not being under pressure. Don't give. Don't help because of guilty, that I'm feeling guilty. If I didn't stand up now, if the pastor said people stand up, I didn't stand up. Oh. No. Now let me say this to you. Sometimes when we are in a position to give to the Lord, we have different type of excuses, reason why not to give. Any opportunity that you have to give, church, listen to me, jump at it. That is where your blessing is. You are sowing a seed into the life of your children. Not your children alone, your children's children. They start to reap out of it. That is what I said to people that are coming to sweep the house of the Lord. The Lord revealed that to me, that their children's children are going to be blessed, and people will be wondering, what did your mother did that bring this blessing? And people will be wondering, I'm telling you, that is what the Holy Spirit said to me, that they will be wondering, what is the big deal? It's not that they give money to anyone, but they took care of the house of God. And their children and children's children will receive that blessing. And people will be wondering, what did your parent do? You've got to do things. Not because, elder will be angry if we didn't come to sweep. No. Then you don't have the blessing. Is that, if I didn't do this, it's not good. This is my father's house. I've got to take a step and do it. It's my responsibility. Did you ever see that way? That is your responsibility to make sure that everyone around you have joy. I said to my children, you don't have to know people before you say hello to them. When we're going into the restaurant, the saloon to do my hair, so I was greeting everyone I see there, and they were looking to see the people they know. I said, you know, that is not the way. Hello, auntie. Good day, auntie. God bless you, auntie. That is it. Then after you do that, then people will say, who is the mother of that child? Then they know the daughter of who you are. You don't have to know them before you greet. Now, when you greet everyone, then they will be the one that will say, who is the mother of that child? Praise God. Amen. Okay, let me rush on. So now, let's go to first aid. Now I want you to go back to that first seven. There's something I want to bring up. So let each one. Read it. Verse 7.
Yeah, he said, let each one give.
Give.
As he made up his own mind.
As you make up your mind. Now, hold on to that for me. What does that mean? Give. You've got to plan what you want to do. Now, you know people plan not to give. Let me tell you how they do it. You leave your check at home. And the money you took yesterday, maybe £200, you leave it at home. If I should take this money to where I'm going, I will spend it. Eh? If I should take my check, I know those, there's some pastors, if you go to conference, they will make sure you give. In order not to let anybody make me to give that thing, at least it's the check that is with me that I will sign. Isn't it? It's check that you have in your purse that you will sign. Because if the check is in my bag, I know I will check. By the time they say, God say you should give. There's somebody in this house that God is just saying, you. Oh, God has ministered to you to give £10. Oh, you've got to give it now. You just, is that me? Oh, God, this pastor have started again. Then you will be forced to take off your check. So people plan not to give by leaving their check at home and leaving the money they have at home. So that at least no matter how they scream, is that £10 that is in my purse? I can't take out more than what I have. I can't hear somebody say amen now. Amen. Is it hurting you? Okay, now. It's a fact. Now, but the scriptures say it has to be the other way around. Plan what to give. Plan to give. Don't plan not to give. Because you know one thing that we never realize is that if you spend that £100, God is going to multiply it for you. Until we come to that mentality and then we know that our mathematics has to work with God. Like because they said, when you sow, I'm going to give back. Well, because we don't know that. That is the reason why we keep in our hand. We don't want to give. That, you know, grace is different from when you have law. Law-oriented, that is what people are. We are not grace-oriented. Grace is given without looking for the reason why you have to give. You just want to give. But law-oriented is, why do I have to give? You look for the reason why. Why you are willing to give? Because they said last week they're going to do the carpet. They never do it. And we sow the seed for the carpet. You never know if they did something else in the house of God. If someone was lacking and the seed everybody sowed for the seed, we give it to her. Do we have to come to the altar and say we give to her? Because you don't know what we do with the money. Or what you do is that you can't see the carpet. And then I said, let's sow the seed for the light. Me. We sow seed for the carpet. They didn't do it. We sow the seed for the ceiling. They didn't do it. That carpet I'm not going to do. That is people that don't have grace. God didn't have to look there for the reason why he has to give you his only begotten son. To die for you. That is what we call grace. The grace is for you to be protected. God is protecting you. Even when you didn't pray. It isn't the reason why I don't have to protect you. You went out on that party and you had alcohol, but still the grace of God took you home without accident. God didn't look for the reason why he must not have to protect you to get home. I didn't hear somebody say something. But we always look for the grace, the reason why you don't have to give. Grace we give without reason. You will just, as long as they say give, you will start to give. As long as you know that somebody need help, you will stand up and start to give help to that person. God is looking for people that will hardly wait before they offer help. That is the type of blessing. God loves a cheerful giver. Can you read it for me? Come on.
As he has proposed in his heart.
Yes.
Not reluctantly.
Yes.
Or sorrowfully.
Yes.
Or under compulsion.
Yes.
For God loves.
Yes.
He takes pleasure.
Yes.
In a cheerful giver.
A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, listen to this, abound towards you, that you always have all sufficient in all things. Now, I'm going to read verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown. Now, did you hear that prayer? May he multiply the seed that you have sown. That is where it comes that if you sow sorrowfully, you will reap sorrowfully. Because it's the seed that you sow that God is going to bring back. How can you sow? I know it's, you know, it's difficult at times to sow cheerfully when you have bills to pay. But the only way to sow cheerfully is when you start to know that whatsoever that you have in your hand is a gift from the Lord. And listen, you are a steward towards it. You are looking after God's blessing. Let me explain that. Your paycheck that was given to you was not from your employer. It was from God. I know it's your employer that gave it to you, but who gave you the job? I know that you use your money to buy the car, but who gave you the car? You have to see that whatsoever that I have with me belongs to God, not you. Then you will find it easy. It's just like I give you some money and say, keep the money. And now, I now ask you, can you give me £10 back? Before you know, you've got to jump out and give me the £10. But we never see that way, that what we have is the Lord. But when you start to see that, then you will start to be easy for you to give to the Lord without complaining. I'm going to finish something. 1 Timothy 6. Let me finish with that. Now, charge them means that instruct them, let them know, command them. People that are rich in this world, the scripture says, don't be happy when it's time for you to give. When you are being called out to give, don't be pompous and say, I can't stand up, I can't come out. Who gave you the blessing? Who owns you and your money? When I say, come on, anyone that wants to give £5, it's not you. It's not the pastor you are coming out to. Some of us, we fear people that are here. Thank God. If the queen says, stand up, if you want me to give you an essential, but won't you stand? If you are sick and the doctor says you want to be healed, won't you stand? What about God? What about God? Then we say, oh, that is not the way, I don't know, it doesn't have to be done that way. It has to be done in the way the Holy Spirit has said be done. And now you have to listen to the Spirit of the Most High God. It's God that is going to bring the reward, not the pastor, not the people around you. Let me say this to you. Anywhere I go, ask my PA, ask them. They know that I must be known. If you do, you know, you must be known. In any place that I go, you can't see me and say, I don't see you. No, because I'll make the loudest noise there. Yeah. If it's asked for them for the glory of God, I must be known. It's not about who, you've got to be posh. You know, you don't just go and be pretending. You know, sometimes you've got to show that you are responsible. No. Or you are posh, or you are, you know, you just to carry yourself. The way you carry yourself is when people honor you. It's not people now. We're talking about God now. Did you hear what I said? I can be posh if I want to be posh to people. I'm not going to allow anybody to be rude to me. But when it has to be God, you've got to be able to do anything for the Most High God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Read that scripture. Read it and finish it for me. I'm going somewhere there.
He said, charge them that are rich in this world.
Yes.
That they be not high-minded.
Yes.
Nor trust in a certain riches.
Yes.
But in the living God.
Don't trust in what you have. Who give you the job? It can take it away. Who give you the money? It can take it away. Who gives you your hand? He can take it away. Trust in God. Don't trust in what you have. Read it.
Who gives us richly all things?
Who gives us richly all things?
To enjoy.
Yes.
That they do good.
Yes.
That they be rich in good works.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to distribute.
Ready to do what?
Distribute.
If you read another translation, my translation says, be ready to give. Be ready to give. That is what the scripture said. Be ready to give to people. Let them do good work and they be rich in the world. I'm ready to give. That is my translation. And be willing to share.
Yeah, to share with others.
Be willing to share what you have. But it is in the Bible. Learn. Be ready. Not that. Be ready to give anytime. That is why you've got to carry yourself that you are blessed. That is when you don't let anything meet you on the way and say, oh, if they want you to give, you'll be able to dip and say, ah, you don't start to look around your bag and say, I haven't got anything. You must always have something. Be ready to give. It's in the Bible. Be ready. At any time they want you to give, you don't have to search through your book and see if £1 is going to drop. No. Always have something in reserve. Because God knows your motive. That is the reason why God will bless you. God knows your motive that you want to give this to somebody. Then God will bless you. Be ready to give and always be willing to share. I want you to lift up your voice and pray right now. It's a very important prayer. You might have been giving before, but I want you to pray this prayer to the Most High God. You know what? You pray this prayer. God, in all I do, give me the hand to be a cheerful giver. I want to do it willingly, not by force. I want you to say after me and say in the name of Jesus. No matter what I have, Heavenly Father, make me a cheerful giver. In the name of Jesus. Prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Start to pray that prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Eternal Rock of Ages, I call you forth, O Lord. Father, in everything that I do, in every area of my life, give me the heart to be a cheerful giver. I don't want to give grudgingly. I don't want to give as if I'm being forced to do. I don't want to bless people as if they're forcing me to bless them. Give me a heart to be a cheerful giver, a willingly giver, someone that will give willingly, someone that will bless willingly, someone that will help willingly. Open your mouth and pray. Pray that prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray that prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mashaka narabosiniye. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Father, every seed that I've sown, that I did sow grudgingly, knowingly and unknowingly, Heavenly Father, erase grudgingly from the seed with the blood of Jesus. As from this moment, every seed that I've sown, let them bring forth fruit. God, fruit in the name of Jesus. Start to pray that prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mashaka dabosoteya. Every grudge is in my seed. I raise it with the blood of the Lord Jesus. Erase right now with the blood of the Lord Jesus. Whatever the seed that you sow into the life of your wife, into the life of your children, into the life of your husband, any help that you've rendered and you are sad and unhappy about it, Father, erase it with the blood of Jesus. Erase it with the blood of Jesus. Make the seed to be clean and clear. Make the sin to be clean and clear. Make the sin to be clean and clear. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Maraba seten dala mosidiya. Ome me rakanda la masidiyeka. Esha da barakende ya. Eme marabala kende le mosidiya. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to Above Limitations. I know you've been blessed with this message. Join Pastor Victoria at Freedom House UK, 9 Factory Road, North Woolwich, London E16 2EL, Sundays 10 a.m. GMT. For more information, visit www.pastorvictoria.org. Telephone 44207 474 0660. Email admin@pastorvictoria.org.